The Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, Episode 62. Rumor has it that the world-famous explorer Marco Polo was born on the tiny Croatian island of Korčula.
Marco.
Polo. Hello, travel nerds, and welcome to the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, the show that'll help you travel more while spending less. I'm your host, Travis Sherritt, and joining me today is my wife and constant traveling companion, Heather, who is back for another round of Destination Diaries. Hey, Heth, we're talking Croatia today. Are you excited?
I certainly am, especially since summer is winding down, and all I can think about are those beautiful beaches.
Yeah, and for those of you who are unfamiliar, Destination Diaries is part of our month of podcast gluttony. What podcast gluttony is we'll be releasing one episode every single weekday for the month of September, so 22 episodes in all, and one of those formats is Destination Diaries, where we get on the show and we talk about a place that we have been. We give you on-the-ground experience, we tell you where we've eaten, where we stayed, what we liked, all the great things about a place we've been, and today we're going to be focusing on Croatia. If you like what we're doing, if you like Destination Diaries and all the podcast gluttony, let us know. You can shoot me an email at trav@extrapackofpeanuts. Of course, you can show us love by subscribing through iTunes or Stitcher. You can also leave a review. If the feedback is positive, then we're going to keep doing this podcast gluttony on and on and on. And remember, we love hearing your experiences. So if you've been to Croatia, make sure to head over to the show notes at extrapackofpeanuts.com/destinationcroatia and let us know some of your favorite places. Now, for Croatia, in full disclosure, obviously we have not been everywhere in Croatia. What we are going to be focusing on today is Split and Dubrovnik and the area in between the two, the Dalmatian coast, because that is where we headed in Croatia. And to get to Croatia, we had a bit of an experience. Heth, why don't you tell them a little bit about our experience getting down to Croatia?
Well, at the time, we were in Bratislava, and we decided that we would take the trek by train. So when we were in Bratislava, we were staying in the old city, which was pretty nice, and we had to walk or take a bus to the train station. We decided to walk. It was about a 45-minute walk, and we get to the train station, and I feel like, what country are we in? Because the train station was so run down. We walk inside. There's kind of like trash in the corners and just was not, it was really run down. And we go up to the counter, to the window, and literally there's food crumbs in the window and like a used Band-Aid. And I am seriously, seriously wigged out. I'm like, I do not want to be here. What does this mean for our big overnight train trip? So Travis talks to the woman and, you know, deciphers through speaking English and trying to understand what she didn't speak English very well. But we booked our tickets and come to find out, we actually couldn't even be in the same train car for the overnight portion of the trip. Men and women had to be separate, even if they were married or whatever. So I had kind of a mini meltdown, not really wanting to take this overnight train after being like seeing the conditions of the train station. But Travis assured me that, you know, the train doesn't leave from this station, actually leaves from a different station. So surely it will be fine. So we pack up our bags the next day, we leave, and we go to the other train station. Trav, why don't you describe what that one looked like?
So the other train station, if you've never been to Eastern Europe, and you probably have a picture in your head of what Eastern Europe is like, that is what this train station was like. There was no one around. We thought we were at the wrong place. There was huge balls of dust on non-working escalators that had probably not worked for about 30 years. Either way, we got on the train, and that then took us. We went through Austria. It was a great experience going through Austria and things like that. Then we went down and through Slovenia over to Zagreb, and in Zagreb, we had to switch to the overnight train. As Heather mentioned, in Europe, a lot of times, unless you get the first class cars, it's split female and male rooms. So we were in the same car, but we were in different rooms. We were right next to each other. And we then took the overnight train into Split, arriving in the morning. But yeah, it was a bit of a dodgy overnight train. Certainly not one of the nicer overnight trains we have seen throughout our travels. But when we got to Split, luckily we were staying somewhere really, really cool.
So we booked an Airbnb apartment, and the host's name was Natasa, and she was the most fabulous host we've ever had. She met us right at the train station with her car, drove us the 5 minutes to her apartment, gave us all sorts of details, and it was just a really great spot, and we felt really relaxed right from the get-go after getting off that train.
And we were renting this place for about 3 weeks. And it was kind of funny because the night before we left to go to Croatia, we had another place booked. And I got an email from someone at Airbnb and said they had a family emergency and we weren't going to be able to stay at their place. So literally 18 hours before we got on the train to Croatia, I was emailing everyone I could imagine in Split through Airbnb, asking about the places. We lucked out and we got probably the best place you could have in Split. I would recommend this to everyone. Again, Natasa was a fantastic host. She had lived in the United States before, so she spoke great English. She had lived there for, you know, 10 years or something like that. So great English. Her place was fantastic because it was located right downtown. And now a lot of people, when they go to Split, they want to stay in the old town. I would recommend, I mean, while that's okay, I would recommend staying outside of the old town because the places are going to be a lot smaller in the old town and it's going to be a lot noisier. We stayed at Natasa's. It was about a 3 minute walk from Bačvice Beach, which is the nicest beach in Split. And it was only about a 6 or 7 minute walk down to the old town. So it was located right in between the two. So if anyone's looking to go to Split, we will link this in the show notes to Natasa's Airbnb place. It was absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, it was a great place to stay. And we actually wrote a whole post on it on the blog. So it will be there as well. One of the great things about this apartment was that literally across the street was this small food stand called Popeyes. And we went there, I would say, almost once a day.
Yeah, at least once a day. And Popeyes, it's just a little fast food stand, but it's kind of an institution there in Split, and it was right outside of our front door. So they sold little mini pizzas for $1, chicken sandwiches for $3, and there's always people there. So it was kind of cool to see the local culture. School kids would get their sandwiches there. People would be there until like midnight. So just a very cool little stand. Highly recommend getting a thing at Popeyes and then heading down to Bačvice Beach.
Bačvice Beach was so beautiful. I'm not sure what I expected of Croatian beaches, but this is one of the few sandy beaches. A lot of the beaches in Croatia are stone or rock, which are really beautiful, but not quite as comfortable as laying in the sand. So we really enjoyed this particular beach. It had lots of little restaurants and cafes that you could walk for quite a ways down the coast and pick your spot.
Yeah, and Bačvice Beach is a blue flag beach, meaning it is designated as the clearest water you can get. And it's, you can see, however deep you get, you can see all the way to the bottom. It's what I'm trying to say. It's a fantastic beach. They also have a bunch of people out there playing like games with, you know, they play soccer on the beach and they play this ball game where they're in the water and they hit it up with their hands. I can't remember the name of it, but just a really cool meeting spot for most people in Split. And Split overall, we had been told by some people, oh, it's a port town. You kind of want to skip Split. You might just want to go right down to Dubrovnik. But really, we love Split. Like we said, we had an apartment there for 3 weeks. We spent about a week and a half of that time there. And it was a really neat town. It was really manageable, easy to walk around, some great restaurants. We're going to talk about some of the ones that we really liked. And with the beaches and stuff, you know, you could take runs along the beach and things like that. We'd wake up in the morning and lo and behold, I was actually in love with the beach so much, I'd actually get out and run, which is something I don't normally do. So a really, really neat city overall. I would highly recommend that people head there.
So exploring the actual city, near the port is Diocletian's Palace, which is a Roman palace, and it's still standing today, and you can stay inside the palace, and there's all these, it's just all stone, and there's little alleyways with shops and restaurants and cafes, and it's just a really, really cool atmosphere, and there's so many good opportunities for taking pictures or people watching, anything like that. So that's right in the downtown of Split, and there's a whole promenade right outside the palace with little cafes and restaurants, and then you can just see the port and see the boats coming in and out, and it's just a really beautiful experience.
A lot of times the boats will come in, the cruise ships will come into Split right there, and you can see Diocletian's Palace right as they come into port, and they'll stay for, you know, the day and then leave. So it's really cool to be there for longer than that and get to experience, you know, the nighttime and the regular day and things like that. Diocletian's Palace is actually the best preserved Roman ruins in the entire world. So a fabulous place to be inside and walk around. It's huge. Like you said, there's lots of places to eat and some amazing picture opportunities, some cool shops, things like that. And where we stayed, as we said, it was about a 7-minute walk from there. Now, one of our favorite things in Split was the amazing food. So, Heth, why don't you tell them about some of our favorite places?
Well, as you can imagine, being on the coast, there's tons of great fresh seafood. One of the places that was recommended to us was called Buffet Fief. And we went there for the first time with some pretty high expectations because literally numerous people and a lot of the guidebooks, TripAdvisor, recommend this as like the number one spot, maybe.
Yeah, everyone said you have to go to Buffet Fief for the most local, authentic, best price, best food in Split. And we went the first time and I got the black squid risotto, which is traditional dish there in Split. And Heth, I believe you got some sort of...
I got a stuffed pepper, which was stuffed with a lot of beef, and I'm not a huge fan of that. So, I mean, we kind of missed out on our first two entrees, and like the atmosphere there is very basic, just kind of like wooden tables and chairs, and you can eat inside or outside. Just very kind of like a rustic charm with lots of locals.
So we were a little bummed because after this first time, everyone had told us to go there. Literally, probably 7 people had said that, and we were thinking, well, if this is the best it gets, we didn't have that great of an experience. The second time we went, oddly enough, we were actually out on a run and we had ran probably 3 miles or something like that up and down these hills. And we were walking back by it and we saw these people out with a huge plate of fried calamari. We thought, well, we just went on a run. So of course, why don't we go get some fried calamari? So we sit down, we got this fried calamari. It came with a side of grilled vegetables. It was $9. It was the biggest plate of calamari I've ever seen. And we basically fell in love with Buffet Fief that second time we went there.
Yeah, that calamari was amazing. It was so big, we split it and we were full. We didn't need to get anything else. And it was so funny because we thought that they accepted credit cards here. They do not. They only accept cash. So just be warned. Before we left on our run, we just threw in a credit card in the pocket of my running pants. And so I was like, oh, we're fine. We can pay for this and with our credit card. Well, after we get our meal, we're done eating and everything, we get the bill. And the waitress said, oh, well, we don't accept credit cards. But, you know, there's an ATM right down the street. So you can go get money. And we're like, well, we don't even have our ATM card. So we literally, they're so nice there. We told them we would come back. You know, we had to run or walk back to our apartment, which is 10 minutes from there, and get some money and come back. And they just totally were fine with it. And we came back, gave them the money, and they were like, oh, thank you so much. Really relaxed there.
Yeah, we had to run off some of that calamari again anyway. We ended up going back to Buffet Fief, I believe 3 or 4 other times, many, many times. It was great. The food is good. The half liters of beer are only $2 there. So it is cheap. It is local. It's a great place. A few other places we went to, Konoba Matejuska. I'm probably, you know, butchering a lot of these, but we'll link them up. Good, fairly cheap wine. Really great place for a date. We had been recommended this. I think it's number 2 on TripAdvisor in Split. They have a fish platter for 2 that we got, and it was really unique. It's, you know, chef special. So they bring out all different types of fish. They, you know, fillet it out there in front of you. Just a really nice, cool spot off one of the back alleys. And then we also went to a place inside Diocletian's Palace called Konoba Korta. And Heth, you really like the beers here.
This was almost like a craft brew place. They had homemade beers. They were about $4 to $5 a beer, so a little more expensive than usual, but they were really delicious. The food was also really good. I got a fish plate here, and Travis got a pretty large platter.
Yeah, me and our British friend who were there, Martin, we split the, what they call the huge meat platter, and it was $40, and that's exactly what it was. It was a huge meat platter, all types of meat, sausages, just anything you can imagine that they could grill up in front of us. Martin is a big eater. I am also a big eater, and we barely finished it. So it was a really neat experience there. So some good eating in Split. We're going to link all those places up. All 3 of those we definitely recommend. As far as activities in Split, there is so much to do. As we already mentioned, you can explore the old city in Diocletian's Palace. That's really easy. Definitely go to Bacabuse Beach. There's all the beach bars there. The food there is not as good as you will get in the other places, but I every day went to this one beach bar, sat down, spent about 3 or 4 hours there doing work, drank a beer or 2, and just looked out over the beach. It was absolutely fantastic. So Bacabuse Beach, you should definitely head to. It's a really, really cool spot.
Yeah, and there's lots of good places to walk and run, as we mentioned. We did a hike up the hill. I think it's called Marjan Hill. I'm not sure. There's a cafe at the top with great views of the city. Also, they only accept cash. So make sure you just have cash on you at all times if you want to get a coffee or anything in the city. that hike was really beautiful, and you can see the whole port town of Split. You can take some nice pictures up there, and there's an old church and just, you know, nice places to wander around.
Yeah, some of the oldest parts of the city are up there as well. So there's churches from like the 12th century and a lot of cool little back trails to explore and stuff like that. But Heth, probably the coolest thing we did in Split was we ended up taking a day trip.
So from Split, you can go to quite a few different islands, which is one of the reasons why we picked Split as a central location, because there's the island of Hvar, which is right off the coast, the island of Brosh, which is the one that we went to. And there's a third one I can't remember, but you have lots of options for taking the ferry. So we actually, our friends, Maria and Martin from England, were here at this time, and we had rented a car, we decided to keep the car, take it on the ferry. It was like $50 to take the car and the ferry, so not too expensive. And then each person was $10. So for a total of what? $90, we took the car and we were able to drive all over the island of Brosh. We went down to this famous beach, which is next to the town of Bol. And it was honestly one of the most stunning beaches I've ever been to.
Yeah, fantastic beach in Bol. You can get there if you take a bus. If you took the ferry to Brosh, you could then take a bus to Bol, but it's on the other side of the island, and it would probably be a pretty big hassle, which is why we kept the car. It was well worth it for us. There is also a nude beach, if you're into that, right there at Bol. So there's a really beautiful beach, and then right around the corner, there's a nude beach. So just a really, really cool spot. Highly recommend getting to the islands. And if you stay in Split, it's very easy to take the ferries, which, as Heather mentioned, was one of the draws for us. Even when people were saying, oh, I don't know if you should stay in Split, it's not that great, we found it to be fantastic, and it's very, very easy to get to the islands. The last thing I would mention, and we do talk about this in a podcast that we'll be releasing during Podcast Gluttony, so if you want to know more about this experience, you can listen to that when we talk about our top 12 sporting events of all time, but go to a Hajduk Split game. That is the local soccer team, so if the season is going on while you're there, definitely go to a game. There is a fan club section, which Heather and people who are maybe a little more proper might not want to do. You might want to pay the extra $2 for the family-friendly section. But if you want a real experience, you can sit in the fan section, which is covered in about 3 inches of cigarette butts, and they light the chairs on fire, and it's pretty crazy. They actually lock you in, and there is big bars at the top that like you basically can't get out for the whole game.
Yeah, it was a pretty wild experience. I had fun, but yeah, like Trav said, might have rather gone on the family side.
So after Split, what we still held our apartments, but we wanted to go down to Dubrovnik. And Dubrovnik is called the Jewel of the Adriatic. And a lot of people have probably heard of Dubrovnik. It's one of the most famous places to vacation, you know, in Europe, especially in Croatia. It's probably the most famous tourist destination. Lots of cruise ships will come in there for a day and the place will get packed. We ended up staying there for 3 days. And it's really cool too. Again, renting a car is not that expensive. And the drive between Split and Dubrovnik takes about three and a half hours if you're going straight through. But you go through all these awesome Croatian towns and you're just on this really cool road. You're right on the coast. It's beautiful. And one of our favorite towns that we went through and that we actually stopped at is called Makarska.
Makarska is so beautiful because, I mean, of course, it sits on the coast, but there's the backdrop of the mountains directly behind Makarska. I mean, there's mountains range all through Croatia, but in Makarska, it's literally just butted up against these mountains. So there's beautiful little like port there, and there's lots of little boats and big boats and sailboats, and it's really gorgeous. And we took a hike around, like we had lunch there, and then we took a hike around the port, and there's kind of this outcropping where you can actually see the whole city of Makarska and the mountains behind it, and just the scenery there. It was just so amazing. I took a picture, and the water is so clear and so turquoise. People commented on that picture like it was the most beautiful thing they'd ever seen.
And then when you get to Dubrovnik, it is popular for a reason. It is absolutely beautiful. It is a walled city that sticks out into the Adriatic. And one of the coolest things to do in Dubrovnik when you get there is to walk the city walls. So you can actually walk on top of the old walls that ring the entire city of Dubrovnik, the entire old city of Dubrovnik. Now, that used to be like $3 or $4, I believe. And then, because we saw a guidebook that was about 10 years old, and now it's up to about $18. So they know what they've got now. They definitely charge you for it. But it's really, really neat. You could take as long as you want. We spent about 3 hours walking around the walls. I mean, if you just walk straight without taking pictures and stopping and taking the view, it would probably take you 35 to 45 minutes, but it's well worth it. It's one of the best things you can do in Dubrovnik. It's definitely the most popular, so I would highly recommend walking the walls of the old city of Dubrovnik.
That price of $18 also includes the fortress that you can see from Dubrovnik. I forget what it's called exactly, but you have to leave the old city of Dubrovnik and walk, like, I don't know, 50 yards to the actual fortress, and then you can climb up it. And so it does include both of those things. You can walk around the exterior of the fortress, and it's pretty cool.
And we mentioned that in Split, we did not stay in the old city. In Dubrovnik, we did. And I would recommend staying in the old city of Dubrovnik as long as you're doing it on the off season. If you're doing it in the summer, it will be rammed there. You probably won't even be able to stay in there. But if you're doing it off season a little bit, there was a really cool place that we stayed at called Guesthouse Veselik. We'll link that up. Again, we're probably mispronouncing everything, but the owner is fantastic. His name is Darko. He was such a nice guy. Him and his wife own this place. They bought it. They renovated it. He's actually an architect and does all types of sculpting. So he's really turned it into a cool place right in the smack dab of the old city. They had parking. So if you drive there, he has an extra parking spot that he'll let you park in for like $10 a day, which is a steal. We actually parked, and then he picked us up and drove us around on his motor scooter, and just a really fantastic guy. He went out and got us a SIM card when we didn't know how to get our cell phones working. So I would highly recommend this place, Guesthouse Veselik. We'll link it up. Darko, we stay in contact with him since then. We've sent other people there, and they've had an amazing experience as well. So if you can, I would stay there. It's right in the old city. You'd recommend staying in the old city, right, if they're going to Dubrovnik?
Yeah, especially, I mean, if you're only going for a few days. We were there for 3 days. The guest house, I mean, we had a room, a private room, of course. It was a little bit tight, but everything in the old city is going to be small because there's just not a lot of space in there. But staying there, I mean, it was so cool. You walk outside the door of the guest house and you're just literally on stairs that just go down into the city. So it's a pretty cool experience. There are also hotels outside the city wall. There's a Hilton that's really beautiful that is probably one of the best locations if you're not going to stay inside the old city. So if you have points or you want to splurge, that's a good place to stay as well.
Yeah, just be prepared if you are staying in the old city to have your walking shoes on, because you have to go up these old stone steps. I mean, this is a city that's been there for a very long time. So these old stone steps, so your calves will get a workout, but it's well worth it because a lot of the food that you're going to be eating there. Now in Dubrovnik, they have great food as well. We will say it is more expensive than Split because it is a pretty hopping tourist destination. So a few of the places that we ate, it had good food, but yeah, you're going to pay, touristy prices. The one place that we ate the first night was called Nishta, and a lot of people I'd recommend this. You'll find it in guidebooks. It's a vegetarian restaurant. They had a great Indian thali with all different types of curries and paneers and things like that, and they also had a really great falafel for $10, and the thali was about $14. So Nishta is highly recommended, a really, really neat vegetarian spot.
My favorite place that we ate was a restaurant called Wanda, and it specialized in seafood. It kind of had an Italian flair to it, which a lot of places have in Croatia, actually, because it's just across the Adriatic Sea from Italy. So you're going to find pretty good pizza here. You're going to find pretty good Italian food. So Travis got the seafood risotto, which was absolutely delicious. We loved it.
The best seafood risotto we had the whole time we were in Croatia by far.
And you can decide if you want to get it with pasta or with risotto or whatever, but it was absolutely delicious. So fresh. We had a salmon salad, which was a little small. It was just an appetizer. So the prices here were a little expensive. We kind of did it on a special night out and came with like bread and pesto. And like, how many times did we ask for more pesto, Trev?
Yeah, this was the best bread and pesto we've ever had. So he brought it out and we were hungry. So we ate the first bit that he brought out right away. And then he brought us out our food and we asked if we could have more. And I think we might have a third time asked for more after our food. It was just so good. It definitely gave us a little bit of indigestion afterwards because we were eating like cups full of pesto, but it was fantastic. The owner was really nice. The risotto was $15. The wine was about $4 a glass. So again, a little more expensive than Split, but a really cool date spot. And it was on Prejaco Street, which is, you know, what they call Restaurant Street. And there's a lot of places that kind of pop up and close down. This has been there for a while, so don't kind of get suckered into one of them. Definitely go to Wanda. It's a fabulous place. But have you said Wanda was your favorite? I think there's somewhere that you liked a little more than Wanda.
I actually forgot about this when I saw Wanda. There was a wine bar. It was called Divino's Wine Bar. And we passed it because it was just like a couple stairs down from our apartment. And at first, you know, it was really crowded. So we decided to go eat because we were going to eat there as well. But we decided to go to the Nishta, the vegetarian restaurant, and come back when it was less crowded because there wasn't a seat for us. So we went back and Travis like wasn't super excited about going here because he doesn't love wine as much as I do. But I'm telling you, this wine bar had such amazing wine and it was all Croatian. So they just had like the best of the best Croatian wine. And we had a couple glasses and we shared like a cheese plate and it was just a really lovely experience.
It was so good that we actually did leave our credit card there and had to go back the next day. This was the third time in about 2 weeks that we had left our credit card somewhere on this trip. So Divino Wine Bar, really cool place. One last place I'll mention for food is a place, if you're in the old city, called Pizza Miracle. And it's decent pizza. It's really good for the old town. We went to a few other places that weren't as good. It's not super cheap. It's $10 for a pizza, but it's a good place if you're hankering for pizza. As you said, in the old city, there's a lot of those tourist traps. But if you find the ones that are really good and have been there for a while, usually you're going to get rewarded. Even if you pay a little bit, it's going to be good stuff. So those are a few places that we ate in Dubrovnik. A few of the cool things that we did. We already mentioned walking the walls, but there was a really neat thing that Dubrovnik has as well. It's a cable car, and it takes you from the old city basically all the way up this massive hill. It's called Mount, and then it starts with an S, and there's like only four consonants in it, so I have no idea how to pronounce it. But it's a cable car, and it's $18 a person to go up. But instead of taking the cable car, we found a better way to do it.
So since we had the car, I don't know if it was Darko, the owner of the apartment, who told us this. I think so. He told us to drive, you know, south out when you leave Dubrovnik. And when you see kind of like this first left-hand turn, and we'll tell you the name of it. I think it'll be in the show notes or something. But there's a sign and it starts with a B, I think. And you just go up. It's like so curvy and so steep. I thought we weren't even going to make it up in the car, but it was really cool. We didn't have to, it was free. I mean, it's free to drive up there. You could also hike up there, which we actually saw some people do in the pouring rain. And I felt really badly for them. It's a really cool drive up there. And of course, when you get to the top, you're rewarded with this absolutely stunning view of the whole entire coast and the city of Dubrovnik.
Yeah, it does start with a B, Heth, you're right. I can't remember it either, but it is a very sharp left-hand turn and you just wind your way up this hill and it's these hairpin turns and it's so neat because we went up about four times. I kept making Heather go up again and again. We'd go up during the day and we'd take these awesome pictures overlooking Dubrovnik. Then we go up at night and we take these awesome pictures. And then I wanted to go up again. So on the drive, you pass through this town that's up there as well. And there's these ruins. So that's pretty cool. And there's all these like goats and sheep up there, which is pretty neat. You know, you're just winding around. There's these goats and sheep all over. And then you get to where the cable car would actually let you off. So it's cool to go up on your own. You save the money, but it's also a really fun drive. It is a little white knuckle of a drive, especially coming down too, but a really neat experience. I would definitely go up there, get some amazing photos above Dubrovnik, and don't spend the $18. As we said, you can hike up there. If you hiked up there from the old city, it would probably take you about 2.5 hours each way. If you have a car, obviously you can just drive up. One other really cool thing in Dubrovnik, and this was something no one had told us about, except that I saw on a blog somewhere, not many people know about it, which is what's really cool about. And that is that there's all these ruined hotels around Dubrovnik. And that happened because of the fact that there was a war and they got shelled. And once they got shelled, then they were just left to ruin and they've become abandoned since 1991. And now they just sit there.
Travis was really, really pumped to go explore these hotels, especially since we had the car and we had the access to go and go down the coast and find them. But it had been pretty rainy. We were in Dubrovnik for 2 days. The first day we got there, it was kind of nice. And that's when we decided to spend the whole day walking up on the walls and exploring. And then the next day is when he wanted to go and explore all these hotels. And when I say it was raining, I'm telling you, it was pouring down rain. And we didn't have raincoats with us. We had sneakers, we had jackets, but I was just like not really in the mood to go out and explore these hotels. But I am honestly so glad we did, because it was such a cool experience. It was like surreal and eerie. And I mean, sometimes I was kind of scared because they're so abandoned. You think like someone's going to pop out of the corner or something, but I'll let Trav talk about it some more, but it was just really cool. And I would definitely say that it's a fun thing to do, even if it's raining and you don't feel like going outside.
And we did it during the day. I would not do it during the night. That would be even more freaky. But we were looking for Hotel Belvedere. And that was the one that's closest to Dubrovnik. And we had heard about that. And actually, on the way, we get out onto the main road, the same road that you would take the left-hand turn to go up the mountain. And we keep going south. And we have no idea how to get this Hotel Belvedere. And we see it on a map. And it'll actually come up on Google Maps. But, you know, it's basically impossible to get to because it's at the end of this abandoned road. Well, luckily, we're on the main road and we kept driving. We get to this town called Kupari and there was a sign that says beach this way. So we're like, well, we should just head to the beach. So we do. And all of a sudden we drive back and we go back to the Kupari Resort. And again, this will be linked up. We'll kind of give you directions in the show notes if you want to see this, because it's a little hard to find. But you're driving from Dubrovnik, you get to Kupari, you take a right and where it says go to the beaches. And here are about five hotels. And this had been a whole resort complex. And it was completely abandoned. And it's crazy because the beaches are some of the most beautiful beaches you have ever seen. And there's about five massive hotels that are completely abandoned. They're overgrown. The main one, the front one, you could go in, you can walk up these spiral staircases. Everything is ripped down except these staircases, just concrete, so you can go up. It's really, really neat. And you can literally see Dubrovnik basically from there. So you're right near it, but people don't know about this. So definitely go to Kupari. Then we eventually did find our way to the Hotel Belvedere, which is on the road that is closest to the ocean. You go, you drive your car as far as you can. It's all these one-way roads. You just go as far as you can down to the ocean, get there, take a left. You get to a church, then you have to park your car, and then you have to hike back, and you will eventually get to the Hotel Belvedere, which is a, what, 7, 8, 10-story hotel that's just abandoned. Just some really cool experiences, unique experiences that not a lot of people get to have.
The Belvedere Hotel had a lot of graffiti on it, a lot of art. The architecture of that building was very, like, kind of Eastern Soviet bloc looking, whereas the Kupari Resort was very beautiful, like Western, kind of like French-influenced architecture. So you could see the beauty in both of the buildings, even though they were so demolished and torn down and, you know, overgrown with, like, trees and palm trees and moss. I mean, it's just really cool. At the Hotel Belvedere, we like walked all the way down to the ocean because like the stairs were still there, even though some of them were falling apart and there's like spouts of water coming through some of the steps. It was just a really, really interesting experience that I don't know you could have in a lot of places.
Yeah, and you can see the cruise ships like leaving from Dubrovnik Harbor and basically going right by you, and no one even realizes that these abandoned things are there. The only people who know about the abandoned hotels in the Hotel Belvedere are basically the teenagers there who drive back there to do some, you know, maybe illegal activities or get away from their parents or their girlfriends, because we did see a parked car there with two people who are about 18 and they were wondering when we were going to leave, and we were wondering when they were going to leave, and they just stayed there for about the 2 hours that we were there. So we were, you know, kind of messing with their whole vibe there a little bit. But Hotel Belvedere, the Kupari Resort, definitely head there. It's well worth it. Some really cool stuff. That was our trip to Croatia. And like all the Destination Diaries, guys, we're going to give you three things. We're each going to give you a can't miss. So the thing that you definitely have to do if you are here in Croatia, if you're in Split and you're in Dubrovnik, the thing that we would say you could skip, you don't have to do if you come here. And then of course, the one thing that we didn't get to do that we want to go back and do. So why don't you start everyone off with your can't miss?
My can't miss is going to an island. I seriously love Dubrovnik. I fell in love with it. I didn't want to leave it. I want to move there. But going to an island, when we went to Brač, it was such a cool experience. I love just driving around the island, swimming at that beach, even though it was pretty cold when we were there. It wasn't quite summertime. It was like late May, but it was definitely one of the most beautiful beaches that I've ever been to. And while we were there, you know, there is a sailboat that people were on. They were just like jumping off the sailboat into the water. And I mean, it was just exquisite and ideal.
Yeah, there was so much that we could put here for can't miss. It's very, very hard to choose it. For me, going up the mountain in Dubrovnik, if you have to take the cable car and you don't want to walk or drive, that's fine. You can actually, we saw a lot of people hiring taxis to just take them up. You could do that as well. But go up there no matter what way you go up. Go up there during the day and then go up there during the night. The view over Dubrovnik is absolutely stunning. We'll put some pictures in the show notes. We took some videos from up there as well. It's magical. It's just very, very cool to be up there. It gets super windy where you feel like you're actually going to be blown off the side of the mountain, but definitely go up there, get some, snap some awesome pictures. It's stunning. That's the only really word I can use for it.
So now we move on to the skip portion, which is really hard to say because I really don't think there's anything in Croatia that I would skip except for the overnight train. Now, I know that if you've never taken an overnight train, Travis, he loves to take public transportation. He loves to take trains, and I usually will do it for him. You know, it does put you outside your comfort zone a little bit, allows you to grow as a person, I guess. I don't know. You become more flexible, more adaptable, all that good stuff. But now that I've done it more than once, I definitely have no desire to do it again. So I would recommend flying to Croatia. Don't take the overnight train.
I just love public transport. It shows you a side that you usually don't get to see. My skip, again, there is not really anything I could say I wouldn't do that we had done. The only thing I can think of to say to skip is summertime in Croatia. And that's because, as we had been told, I mean, there was definitely tourists there when we were there as well. We were there at the kind of, you know, middle of May, and it was starting to get touristy. And everyone said to us, man, if you come in July and August, it is just rammed, like 10 times this amount of people, cruise ships just coming in, dumping loads of cruisers on you, you know, during the day. And they'll be there from like 9 a.m. to like 7 p.m. and then they all leave. So I would say if you can skip summertime in Croatia, you can definitely go at any other time. Like I said, May was great. The water was warm enough to be in. Of course, it did rain here and there. I've heard September is fantastic. So if you can get on the bookends of the busy season, I would definitely recommend doing that in Croatia. I will say too, one story we didn't tell, the world's best traffic jam. We got stuck in a traffic jam in Croatia because of an overturned truck. So we were sitting in, we would have been sitting in traffic for an hour, but instead there was a beach right down to our left. So we just turned the car around, parked the car, and we went and swam in the world's most beautiful water for about an hour, hour and a half until we saw the traffic start moving, got back in our car, and then went. So the best traffic jam we had ever experienced in our whole life in Croatia. So those are things we skip. Those are things we can't miss. What's the one thing, Heth, that you would want to do if we go back? Excuse me. When we go back, what's the one thing that you want to do that we didn't get to do this time? Because we only had 3 weeks.
And part of those 3 weeks we spent in Montenegro and Bosnia. So actually only like 2.5 weeks in Croatia. So there are actually two things that I have on my list that I'm sad we didn't do. One was we didn't make it to Korčula, which is an island. I mean, it is an island, right? It's off the, in between Split and Dubrovnik. You can actually, I think, drive to it. You don't have to take a ferry because there's a land bridge. But this island is humongous. It has wineries on it and beautiful old cities and sea salt factories. And Natasa, the owner of the apartment in Split, recommended that we went there. We just didn't have time to do it. So I want to do that next time. Another thing that actually Natasa also recommended was the national parks in Croatia are unbelievably beautiful. There's one, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, probably not. It's called Plitvice, maybe. There's just these beautiful lakes and waterfalls in there. And the photos I've seen are stunning. So I would love to make it there one day.
Yeah, there are so many places to go right around Split, and I would definitely recommend making that your home base if you have some more time there. A, it's cheaper than Dubrovnik, and B, there's just a lot of places that you can get from there. All the islands, like Heather mentioned, Plitvice Park, definitely. I think it's about an hour and a half, 2 hours from Split, so we didn't get to go there. The one thing I regret is not learning the language better so that we weren't butchering all these words. But really, the thing that we want to go back and do is we want to go back and rent a sailboat. And Darko, the person we stayed with when we were in Dubrovnik, was telling us about it. It's actually fairly affordable. He said you can go for a long weekend, 3 days, 4 days. Some of the boats, you know, depending on the size, can fit up to 8 to 10 people. So you can go with a few couples or a group of friends. And he said it would be about $1,000 to $1,500 for those 4 days. So if you split it over everyone, usually they have food and drink and stuff like that. Renting a sailboat would be the way to go. We saw so many sailboats out there. We just got so jealous because you can go to any island you want. So you get a captain and you tell them where you want to go and things like that. So when we go back next time, we'll definitely be renting a sailboat. So if anyone is interested, of course, hey, we're just two people. We're looking for some other people to join us on a sailing tour of Croatia. I don't think that'll be too hard of a sell for most of you. That was our time in Croatia. We absolutely loved it. If there are things that you did, if you've been to Croatia and you say, oh, Travis, that was cool what you said, but you missed this, this, and this, let us know. Head on over to extrapackofpants.com/destinationcroatia. Let us know your favorite spot in this beautiful country because we will 100% be going back probably sooner than later. We are definitely in love with Croatia. So let us know some of your favorite things. Guys, as always, thanks so much for listening today. What a fun show to record. Some awesome memories, Heth. And of course, thanks so much for the ongoing support of the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast and of Podcast Gluttony. We're really hitting it hard here with Podcast Gluttony. I hope you're loving it. If you do love it, and you like the new format, you like Destination Diaries, you like our top 10 lists, all that stuff, let us know. You can subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher. You can keep listening to our show. Of course, that will keep our download numbers high. We see that. We cheer every day. Yay! Woo! And of course, you can leave us a review on iTunes. Today's feature review comes from the girl from Paraguay who writes,
Travis is a very accomplished teacher in teaching to the masses the subject matter of traveling for just a pack of peanuts. He does it from a simple to a most complex concepts using an easy, concise language that is very comprehensive to understand for the average Joe. I love driving and listening to his podcast with so much interesting interviews and priceless information. Cheers to best traveling guru.
Thank you, the girl from Paraguay. I really appreciate it. I love that you threw the pack of peanuts in there. So thank you. If you guys leave a review, you could be the next featured review here read on the podcast. Thanks again for joining us. I hope that this has you dreaming of Croatia and your trip there. And until tomorrow,
happy free travels.